the Hazy Radio Network.
Flip us on and flip the other guys off.
Everybody, and welcome once again to Cosmic Tuesdays, heard every Monday evening on the Hazy Radio Network. My name is Anthony Pico. I am your host, as I always am. Today is May 8th, 2017. I am a professional astrologer with 30-plus years of experience and a lot of curiosity on my part, which is why I grab anybody I can find and interview them and share the information with you. So there are two goals to this show, basically. The first goal is I interview all types of people, all sorts of disciplines, all kinds of skills, and you listen. And if you like something that a guest says, we'll take it, you know, use it, make it yours, embrace it. And if you don't like some of what they say, well, then you can ignore it, because no one says you have to agree with everything a guest on my show says. But over the weeks, show after show, take what you like and cobble together your own personal spirituality. I agree, yes, we are all one with the universe, but we are also very distinct people, and each one of us came into this world with our own viewpoints and our own goals, and we all have to contribute what is important for us to contribute. So don't dismiss yourself. You're just as important as everybody else. The number two reason that I do the show is so that all of us out there know that we are not alone. Okay, many people are interested in these things that up until now have not really been considered mainstream. But as somebody once said, the times, they are a-changing, and I think we can see it all around us. So at least over the past 30 years or so, we have had a tremendous shift in the awareness of a lot of the metaphysical things that we talk about. Tonight we have a fascinating guest who does an awful lot of stuff, and we're going to try to cover everything that she does, or at least touch on everything she does. In terms of reading, she does angel card readings, mediumship, past life. She does spiritual counseling. She is a spiritual mentor, teacher, spiritual channel of divination. She does intuitive development coaching, something called activation. She does third eye activation, ascension activation, and oneness activation, spirit guided meditation, angel card workshops, automatic writing workshops. Her name is Angel Eyes Dawn Marie. And are you there, Dawn?
I am. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
My pleasure. My pleasure. We have a lot of stuff to cover tonight. Because you have so many things that you're up to. And the one actually that fascinates me the most, I haven't really had a chance to talk in depth with anyone who has worked with automatic writing. So I wonder, would you just start with a quick description of what automatic writing is for those people who don't know, and then we'll take it from there?
Sure, sure. Automatic writing is actually, technically it's automatic dictation.
Oh, okay.
It's funny, we all call it automatic writing, but it's when you go into prayer, a meditative state, and but you actually sit there, and after your prayers, you write, and it comes out so fast and so beautiful. You're like, I wrote this? And it's a great way to communicate with spirit, which is the main way. But you could actually use automatic writing for anything in any way. I know that one of my students was a student. She's like, you mean I could ask for help with my paper through spirit? I'm like, sure.
Oh.
So it's but the main way is to connect with spirit through the pen.
Okay. And the history of automatic, how long has, obviously, you have to learn to read and write to do. I'm guessing you have to learn to read and write to do this. But how long has it been around? I mean, does it go back? Is it something relatively developed in the past few centuries, or does it go back really far?
I believe it goes back to when spiritualism started back in the 19th century, starting with the Fox sisters. They were the first mediums that were, and they were more trance mediums, and as a way for the trance state for you to actually, with automatic writing, they would, instead of, they would go into a trance state, then the trance state meaning when you actually allow spirit to come into your body and you fully let yourself go, and spirit just, and you just write, and they don't even have any recollection when they come to. And that's pretty much how it started. And then as we have grown over the years, it's more of a conscious, and that's why I said from the beginning, it becomes automatic dictation. You're hearing what spirit's saying, and then you're writing it. So you're listening and writing.
So, I mean, I guess it's a form of channeling in some way, except
it is a channeling, yes.
I suppose if they talk really fast, you have to be,
Tell them to slow down.
Or else you have to be a stenographer. You can call yourself spirit stenographer.
Exactly.
Out of curiosity, and this is just, I know nothing about this. When you're doing automatic writing, and it could vary from, you know, thing to thing, but do you do it because, does it come out in your own handwriting, or does sometimes the handwriting look completely alien to what you're doing, what you normally write?
Well, actually, it could, you really actually, when you're starting to write, all of a sudden your handwriting might change. That's when you know there's a shift in the energy,
okay,
and you have a new energy coming through. Actually, one time I was typing on the computer, and all of a sudden spirit came through, and the font even changed. Talk about making magic happen.
Wow.
Makes you a believer, yeah, and it was a strong message coming through my friend for a friend of mine. So, but yeah, the handwriting can change. It definitely doesn't look like yours. I've brought through back-to-back two spirit energies, and one, it would be big and bubbly, and the other is very small and fine and neat. It's funny, interesting seeing my students and the writings. Some of them is like, I never would write this neat, or I never wrote this sloppy. Sometimes it comes through so fast, they can't even read their writing after. So I always encourage everyone to look it over and try to, you know, make out the best of your ability. And if for some reason to do it right there, if you can't figure it out, ask spirit, because spirit's still with you. Hey, what did you mean by this word? So.
Well, that's the other question I have, and again, I'm speaking from complete ignorance, so if it's a dopey question, do people ever write in languages they don't know? Like somebody starts writing in French and they don't know French.
Yes, that does happen. I haven't personally experienced it, mm-hmm. But yes, I've heard that does happen.
And, I mean, I know you teach workshops in automatic writing.
Yes.
And I do want to mention, by the way, there's a couple of URLs. One is angeleyesdawnmarie.com, and there's also one for the Long Island Healing Arts and Learning Center, which is lihealingarts.com, which is where you do some of your teaching, right?
That's where I do all my teaching.
All your teaching, okay.
Yes.
And do you have an automatic writing workshop coming up for people who want to learn it, isn't it?
Yes, I actually do have one starting this Thursday. It's a 7-week course, and it's a whole lot of fun. We connect to spirit, angels, mediumship, and even talking about the collective and the I am presence.
Okay. Have there ever been, again, I'm asking questions because I just don't know. Have there been any automatic drawing? You know, if it's
yes, absolutely. I know a friend of mine in the middle of a class when I was learning, out of nowhere, she drew this amazing angel. And there's a lot of people that do drawing. I have actually some students that are very connected to the arts and drawing, and they channel paintings and it's just beautiful, amazing.
And I mean, it's a 7-week course. What without giving away the farm, of course, what are some of the techniques people need to master? I mean, how do you Yeah, obviously you don't just sit there and say, I'm going to start writing. You know,
I would say it's mainly about being present, asking for spirit energy to come forward, and allowing and trusting. Key is just trusting and knowing that everyone is capable of doing this. That's key, is knowing that you are able to do it. You are able to connect with spirit through the pen.
So you've never had a failure? Like, you've never had somebody says, I can't graduate, I can't do automatic writing.
Some people might drop out of the class if they get frustrated.
Okay.
I would say a lot of people have big success because a lot of people don't know that they are capable of doing it. It's a way to connect and communicate with spirit. I even had some of my private mediumship sessions Spirit wanted me to actually let them know that they want to communicate through the pen. And I did a kind of tutorial right there in the session because Spirit wanted her to write, and she got a message through words right in the middle of a mediumship reading. So, because they wanted to continue it when they went home.
Have any famous people come through that you're aware of in automatic writing, like people who claim to be, Oscar Wilde or Thomas Jefferson or Shakespeare?
Well, we're connecting to all the ascended masters and archangels, so many famous people, spiritual leaders have come through, and we also have people that could be singer-songwriters that are connecting with past people as well that are famous. So yes, that does happen. And it almost is unbelievable. You can't begin to believe it. And then when you embrace it and see the words, it makes perfect sense. And it goes right along with their teachings or their words. And you're like, wow, this really is who they say they are.
Well, I do know that Jane Roberts, who did all the Seth books, and she channeled Seth, but she also wrote a couple of books. I think one of them was called The After-Death Journal of William James, and it was the philosopher William James who wanted to write a book correcting some of the things that he believed, and wanted to realize that now that he's dead, he had a completely different view on things.
Isn't that interesting?
And it was a fascinating book because it didn't read like Seth and it didn't read like Jane Roberts. It was clearly someone else making statements and making points. So I guess there's lots of ways people can come through from the past. And go ahead.
You know what's interesting is that, and this is something I'll teach in my classes, and I'll say this tonight, is that when you think of any type of creative person, whether they're a writer, author in the movies, singer, songwriter, when you think of it, they say they're in the zone. They're inspired. When you break up the word, and I got this from Wayne Dyer, who he is also in heaven right now.
Yes.
But you break up the word inspired, it's in spirit. So really, a lot of our great works that we see on TV, and that's why the TV books, that's why we're constantly reading and watching these different films and getting inspired, because it's all, I believe, a good part of it is channels, the ones especially that touch, move, and inspire you.
So we,
and they don't know they're channeling a lot of times.
I guess for some people it might be easier to do it by writing than actually, letting a spirit speak through them, because that seems so much more bold, maybe, and maybe it seems more comfortable just doing a writing thing. And you can use this, somebody was asking a question in the chat room, and you talked about it at the very beginning. So you can be getting spirit information, you can be getting predictive, inspirational stuff, but you could probably also just, as you said, get help with writing a paper or writing something that you need to put together.
Yeah, you could actually tune in. One time I was with a student of mine who was, we were working on just a project together, and all of a sudden I'm sitting here hunting and pecking my keys. I'm like, oh my gosh, Archangel Gabriel, can you help me? And all of a sudden, boom, everything flowed right through And the student that was sitting there was like, wow, I got to do that more often. I got to do that. Because it's just to see me, like, thinking of what I'm going to say. I'm like, oh, I forgot. I need to ask Archangel Gabriel to help me write. And it flowed, gave me the right words for exactly what I needed to say. And it was so beautiful.
So in a case like that, it was like you had an idea of what you wanted to say, but then what came through.
I was thinking too much. And when you think, you're not linking.
Yes. Thinking, not linking. I like that. That's a nice
link. Yes. You got to link, not think.
Now, I find that even when I'm just writing without any automatic writing, I never tried that, but I know when I'm the more relaxed, the less you think, and the more you just start writing, the more it just kind of flows.
Exactly. You know. Honestly, I believe that more people are doing automatic writing and they don't even realize it, whether it's coming from the God of their understanding, their higher selves, but they are doing it.
So, what drew you to automatic writing? I know you do a lot of things. What in particular about automatic writing did you find interesting? Was it some of your early learning or
Yes.
Okay. And
yes.
And you've studied with some interesting people. I mean, you've been with Doreen Virtue, and James Van. How do you pronounce his last name?
James Van Praagh.
Okay, thank you. I'm never sure. Were they just courses you took with them? Was it one-on-one?
Courses, but it also the automatic writing started at a local with Pat Longo. We were all in class, and after class, someone got a beautiful automatic writing for me, and a friend of mine, and she said, and I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. And she said, yeah, well, you could do it too. I go, I can? And she said, yeah. And she kind of coached me through it. And I'm like, and then from that point on, I couldn't stop writing. And even in class, when I was a student learning, and I'm always a student, I'm always going to continue to learn, I would go ahead and write a little message for everyone in class. Mm-hmm. One of my students recently handed me or showed it to me. She had it from like 10 years ago.
Ah, how sweet.
Yeah.
So what did you pick up when you, let's start with Doreen Virtue. What did you study with her and how did she take you further? What she taught you?
Oh, she was amazing. She is amazing. I became an angel therapist practitioner. I studied angel cards and connecting with the angels, and I've learned so much from her course. And she was also letting us know that we are all, whether we go home and become angel card readers or we go home, we just need to be that light and be the undercover angels in the world and just start spreading peace, love, and light everywhere we go. It was just, she made her course fun. It was like a whole week workshop. And then I've gone to different one-day events here and there when I, when she would come to the city and different things like that. But that particular week was life-changing for me.
And James Van Praagh, what did you study with him? What were the
James Van Praagh, I studied mediumship up in Omega, and I continue to watch and listen. He does a lot of new stuff there, even now. Everyone through social media has been really out there and sharing their knowledge, which I think is amazing. And I'm always continuing to study. I continue to study recently, and I found that as we continue to learn more, we grow, and it's endless how much we can learn.
Now, I'm just curious about did you? Sorry, I'm not speaking very well. On your website, it says that you were sort of awakened after the tragic events of 9/11. But were you aware of sort of a special gift before that, or was when it really triggered you to develop this? What drew this to you in the first place, and what triggered your becoming, for want of a better term, a professional at this?
Okay. 9/11 definitely triggered it, but like I think all of us, it's a reawakening, because I believe we all have had these gifts since we're younger. I remember me and my sister remember seeing a woman in the closet, and we said it was a lady in the closet, and my mother said it's just the toys forming, making a formation. depiction of a woman. Okay. And we always saw this lady in the closet, but she just, you know, said it. She didn't want us to get scared.
Right.
And sure enough, a few years ago, I don't even know exactly how many years ago, I was talking to my cousin Marion saw the lady in the closet too.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, but it was never, and then, you know, over the years, you know, you find out things from when you're younger, things you did, but I believe we all, every child has those experiences, and it's just about what we remember or what our parents encouraged or discouraged
at
the time.
That's it. Yeah, that's exactly it. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, because I even have a neighbor that was telling me more things that I did or that I saw, because she was very, very intuitive, and I didn't even know this, but my mom had asked her to talk to me about all that stuff. And this is going from, you know, when I was 9 years old, around that time. And really, I don't recall it happening, but I do remember always wanting to help people and always giving advice. You know, I was studying, you know, I wanted to be a psychology major, but I ended up going in a different direction, and now I had to go back to it.
I see. Well, I think to a certain degree there. I do find, generally speaking, but I'm not swearing to it, strong psychic streaks tend to run in families. I know in my mother and my grandmother, my mother's mother, both had a certain amount of intuition, you know. So I wonder if your mother had her own awareness of it. We are often talked out of it, you know, when we're growing up. I see something
right.
in the room. It's your imagination, honey. Go back to bed.
Yeah.
You know.
So play with your imaginary
right.
friends.
I wonder what happened if your mom or dad came in and say, well, who is it? And what did they have to say to you? And, like, did you talk
right.
to them? You know, and encourage us to bring that sort of stuff up, you know. So what is, I mean, I know 9/11, what was it about that pushed you into this? If you don't mind talking about it, I'm sorry.
You know, 9/11, I was just devastated by what had happened. I remember exactly where I was, and I was trying to get people to go give blood to the hospitals because that's what they were telling us all to do. So I was on the computer trying to network because I know a lot of people. And I actually even wanted to go down. My friend from Boston was going down to feed the firemen. I wanted to go down and help, but I was talked out of it by my sister. I still remember. I really wanted to go, and I never heard us talk so strongly not to go down. But either way, I just was very affected by what had happened. I lost a friend, and I was just praying to him. And from that point on, I went to a medium, Jeffrey Wands, who sent me to Pat Longo, who I you know, started developing and learning. And then I'm like, I couldn't get enough of it. I'm not a big reader, so I had to go and see all these people speak and teach. Mm-hmm. So I went on a Hay House cruise. I met all these other amazing authors. So that was what really... I just started. I couldn't get enough of it. I mean, I would buy books, and I think I would never read them. I'm like, I felt like I knew them from osmosis because I just had to go see this author speak. Wayne Dyer, Weiss with Past Lives. I mean, I was just so amazed, and one thing was more exciting than the next. I'm still intrigued and continuing my learning because it's just, it's never ending how much spiritualism is and how it started and where it's going.
No, it's true. It's constantly expanding, and as I've done this show for a while, I've discovered more and more people have there's certain commonalities among how people contact spirit, but there's also a lot of things where people are inventing, I don't know if the term is new ways, but ways of contacting spirit that maybe not had been considered before, were not commonly used. So yeah, there's many, many options available. There's the guy who, Raymond Moody, the guy who did the Life After Life book about the near-death experiences, has actually written a book recently about staring into mirrors and finding ways of connecting with a spirit, and it's been remarkably successful for people. So there's people coming up with new ideas all the time. We have about 4 minutes before our first break, and somebody actually asked in the chat room, what is your favorite method of connection? Which I realize could be a loaded question, but give it a shot.
Meditation.
That's where you get the connection best? Do you like that?
Meditation and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And just bringing them in and feeling their presence and just having a conversation with them.
Do you ever, well, it's getting close, but do you ever personally channel? Do you ever personally, by channel, I mean like, I know when.
Trans channel?
Yeah, like somebody comes through you. Do you
yes.
do that? Okay, you have done that.
Yes.
You do so many things, I'm not sure where to go with it, which is not...
I'm the jack of all trades.
Yes, yes, it seems so. The jack of all spirits, maybe.
Jack of all spirits.
So, just for a couple of minutes, when you do past life readings, do you visualize it? Do you just say what comes into your head, or does it vary from person to person?
I would say what we do is usually there's an area in their life that they're either stuck or having some difficulty with, and we're trying to, and their regular forms of therapy or what they've been working hasn't been working, so we want to tune in and see if it was something that was caused from a past life. So what I'll do is we'll talk about that area of their life that they're looking for some healing in, and then I'll tune into spirit, and all of a sudden I'll get a whole story of a past life that what had happened to them. A lot of times you could look into their I could say who is in their life now that's in their life then. It's similar to a past life regression. Instead, I'm receiving the information rather than the person. So, and then all of a sudden you see all the strengths that they had back then and see what happened to them. And we bring healing to that area and we bring back the strengths to that area. And this way, so we could heal it in the present life now.
That makes perfect sense. Do you ever have, like, a mediumistic failure? Like, somebody comes in and says, maybe failure's not the right term. I want to talk to Aunt Doris, who died 3 years ago, and Aunt Doris has no interest in talking or doesn't even come through. Is that something that...
Yeah, sometimes that could happen, either or right at the end of the session, they'll want to connect with somebody, and you have, like, 5-10 minutes left, and there's just either not enough time, or you're actually giving information that's not resonating with them, and that happens as well. It could be that they could be wanting it so much that they're pushing it away from it, or they're not taking in. We also call it psychic amnesia, that as soon as you walk out, you know, they'll figure it out. Like, I had someone, I'm like, I'm getting a Frank, I'm getting, you know, this, and as soon as she left, she texted me the next day, oh, I know who that is, you know, I figured it out now. You know, so that happens. One time I sat there and someone really wasn't responding, so it's very important to have that communication between your client, because if I bring up something and I'm not asking if it resonates, you know, you have to continue. And, you know, that's all about the, you know, and the tools of how you communicate with spirit and asking right. more questions and making sure spirit's giving you something that they can resonate. Because you could have spirit telling you something that their mother would know, but they won't know. So you want the reading to be for the person in front of you. You want it to be, you know, that they resonate with, you know.
No, that makes sense. I can imagine some spirit might come in and say, I'm a friend of Aunt Doris's, and I want you to give somebody a message. But
well, sometimes spirit's so strong, they'll jump in because someone they know would never go to a medium. So they'll jump in, but, you know, ethics and integrity of readings is that you want to read for the person here. So you might want to say it, mention it. They'll like, yes, that's my neighbor's mother, just passed away, but you just want to make mention of it, maybe give a little message to give back to them, and then move on to the person and see who else is showing up for her.
Right. So it's 10:01, so we're going to break. It's time for a few commercials, and we'll be back.
Come and explore the extraordinary. The International Association for Near-Death Studies invites the public for an inspiring conference in Westminster, Colorado, August 3rd through the 6th. Discounted registration ends July 12th. Hear accounts of near-death experiences and meet New York Times bestselling author of Proof of Heaven, Dr. Eben Alexander, and Dr. Larry Dossey, author of One Mind. There will be a special veterans workshop and great student discounts. For information, visit neardeathconference.com.
Hi, this is Hazy, and you're listening to the Hazy Radio Network.
And welcome back to Cosmic Tuesdays. It is Monday, May 8th, and that is when the show is on, every Monday evening from 9:30 to 11 p.m. So announcements are out of the way, and we're back with Dawn. Angel Eyes Dawn Marie, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, welcome back. I do want to mention, anybody listening, angeleyesdawnmarie.com is where you can locate her personally, and also L-I, the letters L and I as in Long Island, healingarts.com is a place that she works out of, and many, I guess, other people also use it for workshops, or is that your particular?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a nice center in general.
And yep.
I do want to mention something that I've heard lately. I don't know if it's verifiable, but apparently Long Island has an extraordinary number of psychics and mediums, higher than the normal, I guess, per capita rate of psychics and mediums. I don't know why, but, well, it can't hurt. It's nice to have them so close by, at least as far as I'm concerned. yeah, do a lot of stuff here. Let's see what else. Angel, we covered channeling, some past life readings, mediumship. So you have people who sometimes come through that are friends of friends. Does anybody refuse to talk to a living person, or a living person refuse? Like maybe when Uncle Joe died, they were in the middle of they hated each other, and maybe Uncle Joe comes in and the person who's living is saying, I don't want to talk to Uncle Joe. Or do people manage to get past that stuff? What is your generalized experience?
I would say that's where the healing is, and that's what this is all about. A lot of times they are coming through because they see things a little differently. Sometimes they, you know, spirit could still have the, you know, they're working through it. But from my experience, I always see everyone coming through with love and trying to heal. I've also encountered higher self readings, which all of a sudden a spirit comes through of the living, and that is because they're trying to work out. So it's the higher self coming through, which is another topic within itself. And they come through to work through their issues, and then they show their higher perspective, and it seems to help the relationship, which is amazing.
Well, that's, I guess, the goal of ultimately all the time is all of us to heal.
It's all about the healing.
Yes.
That's the main part of it all.
Now, you do, there's three things listed on the back of your business card. They're referred to as activations. So we have a third eye activation, an ascension activation, and a oneness activation. Could you just touch on what an activation is in the first place, and then how those three things, you know, are different from each other, and what you hope to, what they do for people when you do those things?
Sure. Third eye activation is something that I do in both of my workshops, as well as we're expanding our intuition. We're opening up and activating our third eye, and so we can hear, see, feel, and know a lot stronger. And what I've found is that, and I also do them in private sessions, and what I found is that after the activation, they're having different kinds of experiences. They're having more opening up, and really it was, it's just about opening up to the spirit energy and making your senses clearer so you could hear them, you could see them, you could feel them. And it reactivates, because we all have these senses. It's just activating them, opening them, so we could see, hear, feel, and know more. for the third eye. And the ascension activation is on our ascension journey. We're all trying to ascend and retire dimensions and to reach higher vibrational levels. And I bring through, I have assistance in the spirit world that helps me with it. So I have my spirit helpers that, and each one of them comes in and comes forward and then helps with the activation.
And oh yeah, everybody does definitely have these abilities. I mean, some of us, you know, we can all paint. Some of us become great artists. We can all play basketball. Some of us become Michael Jordan. So I do think some people have a stronger tendency to channel or to mediumship or whatever it is in particular. Now, you do angel card readings, which I know the tarot cards also exist. I see you didn't get into that. Is there a particular reason? You just didn't have time yet to get there?
Angel cards is how I started with Doreen Virtue back in 2000. I guess I started using some of the cards and training under her with it. And it's just something I loved. I used to go receive tarot card readings, but I always loved the angels. I've always collected angels. I've always been very connected to angels. So when I saw there were angel cards, I was very excited about it, and I got very, very intrigued. And it also, being that I was raised Catholic, it made it more acceptable to my family, I think. That was key, and I think more people, it also, I think it also helps many of my clients. It's more acceptable to them, too, because of religious beliefs. I embrace all religion. You know, it's just about the love that's here for us to tune into.
So, somebody's having, trouble in their lives, and somebody says, hey, you should go see Angel Eyes Dawn Marie, and they call you up and they walk in. And what guides you to pick a particular thing to do for them, whether it's an angel card or a mediumship or a past life? Are you guided? Do you listen to them and hear what they're asking? It could be all those things, but what's a typical, and I know it's not probably not typical, but what's typical?
You know, it's interesting you say that, because there are times that someone will come in for an angel card reading and all of a sudden I'm teaching them about energetic protection because that's what they needed. There's times someone comes in for an angel card reading and then all we're doing is mediumship. So I definitely am a spirit-based teacher and reader. So if spirit's telling me one thing and they came in for something else, I always say, I send a confirmation email saying, write down all the questions you have. Spirit energy wants to come in, just so you're aware. I want you to know that something, everything, or nothing will come in, but guaranteed you'll get what you need, because I'm fully confident that spirit's going to give them what they need if they come to a session, because spirit never lets us down. And when you trust in spirit, you could trust yourself.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's the tricky part. Trust me. Well, because unfortunately it's not, you can't, spirit, and it's just the natural way it's done. It's done by intuition. So it's not like, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. It's very hard to get what many people
say. Tune in a radio station, right?
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people who, personally, I think are psychic, but I know that they talk themselves out of it because they can't prove it to themselves,
Right,
and that's tough, because this well, that's where the word faith comes in, you have to.
That's why I started teaching a lot of people that I would read. They're like, well, I'm like, you could talk to your loved one that I connected to, and they said, no, well, I just want to come to you. I don't want to do it. And I'm like, okay, but I want to empower everyone that they can do this. I was teaching them about writing. Teaching them that they could connect so many times, it really pushed me to teach, because I want everyone to know that I feel like everyone has the ability. Granted, yeah, there are people that are more sensitive. Maybe it's because they're older souls, they live more lives, that maybe they've done this in their lives, they have more of a knowing of, that their veil of illusion isn't as, a little clearer than most, but but we all are able to do it. And I almost feel like we can leap forward. Like, for example, as we get these activations or we open up, you know, we could leap forward and then dive in deeper quicker, I feel.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think it is, as they say, hard. I know somebody who was attending a class and learning to do psychic readings years ago, and they were doing psychometry, which is where you read an object in case people listening. Like you get a piece of jewelry from somebody, and you see what you can read by touching and holding the jewelry. And this guy kept talking himself out of it. He was holding this woman's jewelry, and he said, "I keep picking up the Turtles, the rock group from the 60s, but that doesn't make any sense." Well, it turns out she was personal friends with two of the guys from the Turtles. But sometimes what you get is so unexpected.
Right.
We talk ourselves out. It's like, oh, they can't know. What does the Turtles have to do with it? Well, ask. Find out.
That's having that conversation.
Yes. You know, I also want to mention, while we're talking about, you do automatic writing workshops. You also do angel card workshops.
Yes.
Teach that too. I don't know if you have any of those coming up at the current moment, but.
I have one that I'm in right now, and the next one coming up would be in the fall.
Okay.
So that one we already started because it all builds on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but thank you for asking.
Oh, no, just peach.
Yeah, it comes up. I usually do them twice to three times a year, and now I have advanced courses as well, once you complete it, just to go deeper.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had people that have come to the workshop and, like, told you they can't do this and run away because either they're frightened by it? Because you brought up having Catholic relatives, and I understand there's a lot of, I'm not necessarily knocking Catholicism, but I think there can be a lot of fear-based responses to some of this stuff. So I'm just wondering if you've had people that have been terrified.
You know, for the most part, I'm very, I'm like, hey, we're here to have fun. I'm like, I'm a silly teacher. I'm funny. I'm real. I'm like, I'm the way it is. And I'm like, we're going to have fun with this. We're going to have fun with spirit. And as you laugh, you raise your vibration. And we have a lot of fun with the class. But we're also learning. There are people that, let's say, they don't consider themselves as advanced as the others, but really they're doing fine. It's just their own trusting. So some of them might meet with me privately, and I do private intuitive coaching, so they might meet with me privately to catch up. You know, sometimes people can't complete the course just because something comes up and they're not able to.
Right.
But I'm always willing. I'm willing to help. Like, people text me if they have a question. I'm here to help. It's very important for me, for someone that wants this, has this but doesn't trust themselves. I mean, it upsets me so much to see that when I see that they're getting it and they're just not saying what they're getting, you know? So
yeah.
I definitely want to empower them.
Yeah, that's the tricky part, I guess, getting people to trust themselves. Now, do you...
Practice.
Well, yes. It's a funny thing. About a year ago, I came up with sort of a funny pun. The word spiritual has the word ritual in the middle of it. And to me, it talks about how you have to keep doing things over and over to be able to master it, which is the same. If you want to lift 300 pounds, you got to start with 5-pound weights, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing spiritually, you know.
Yeah.
You've got to start
with
5-pound weights, maybe a little automatic writing here and there, and, you know, work your way up to stuff and maybe meditating every day. Do you have, some channels have regular guides that they know? You know, and some just people come in as they need them. Do you have, like, regular entities you speak with that are sort of, that you're consciously aware that they are your guides, or do they just, you just, whatever comes through, you understand and feel and take?
Well, the one guide that's been with me since this opened up has been my friend who I lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always there, always helping me. I do have some family And it's funny, even like, you know, meditating quiet in my mind before we started the show, all my family showed up. Like all of them. I'm like, people I haven't thought of in a while I talked to. They all showed up in spirit, which is interesting. But so yeah. You know, guides change over the time. As you evolve, they change. I started with some guides. I actually was rereading some of my old writings from my guides from back in the day. And, it's, you know, it's interesting how it changes. But also been bringing in Padre Pio a lot to help with the activations and to help with, you know, the meditations, and that's been really powerful. So bringing in a lot of the ascended masters to help, and it's been beautiful because you call upon them and they're here. It's like, it's just magical.
Do you, you know, some of the people in New Age communities and different divisions of that kind of consciousness are talking about how things are accelerating lately and that we're moving more in a spiritual direction and that the world is beginning to change, and you just gave such a hearty yes there. I don't know if I have to finish asking the question. So you think there's definitely something building?
I do. I believe the veil between heaven and earth is thinner. I believe that we're able to connect easier than we have been in the past, and I think that's why more and more. It's also opening up. People are more being awakened, aware, they're more open-minded. So I think it's a combination of it being out there on the media so much that they're more open-minded, not closed-minded. If you're open-minded, then you could, you know, actually embrace it. But if you're questioning and you're in that thinking, then you're in your ego and you're edging God out.
Well, that need for proof, you know, it's funny, but people say, like, well, I had this urge not to walk down, like, you know, 12th Street. And then I walked down 12th Street and I was mugged. And it's like, now I know why. And it's like, well, the next time you have the urge not to walk down 12th Street, don't, you know.
Right.
You may never know why you were told not to walk down 12th Street. But better not to know than to go down there and get mugged just to prove it to yourself.
Exactly.
And that's what I find sometimes happens with people. It's like, oh, I had a vision I was going to fall down those stairs. It's like, well, why weren't you more careful? What's the matter with you? You know.
You don't want to prove yourself right then.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And I like what you said about being silly and lighthearted. I mean, even in the Seth material, which I talk about a lot on the show, Seth has two great comments. One is, the only reason for suffering is to learn how to stop suffering. Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing I always love is, he says, if it isn't fun, stop doing it. Spirituality should be approached in a playful manner. And he says, anything done in complete seriousness simply will not happen. You know, you're just being too uptight, I guess, or too rigid. And you really have to be open. And that's tricky. We live in such a goal-based society. You know, where are you going? What are you doing? And what are you doing 5 years from now? It's like, you go on a job interview and they ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, hell, I don't know. I'll find out in 4.5 years, you know. But that's more of the intuitive way. I mean, yes, we should obviously get schooling and, you know, things that give us skills and abilities, but we need to sometimes loosen up and not always have a sharp, I'm going to be here at 12:05 and there at 11:15, you know, kind of a craziness going on.
Kind of going with the moment and being in the present. That's important.
It's tricky. We're not really taught to be that way, and it is hard, but it's possible, and I'm amazed.
Free-spirited.
It amazes me how much I started astrology 30 years ago, and I've just noticed over the 30 years how much people have become more open-minded. I think the Internet's helped a lot because they've been able to get in touch with like-minded people, you know, a lot easier than they did before the Internet. I mean, people make a big stink about, oh, social media, it's all phony, but I think it's connected a lot of people that needed groups to connect with, you know. It's one thing to hear voices, alone in your room, but when you discover there's like a whole group of people that are all hearing voices, it's like, oh, I'm not crazy. It's like, no, you're not. It's normal. I mean, it's maybe not common, but it's normal, you know. I think that's a very important part of what's happening in the world.
It's creating that community that you're all going through this together. You've all had these experiences, and now let's figure out what to do with them, why they're coming, and let's use them for the greater good.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a curious question. This could go off in a philosophical bent, but we have about a minute or two before the break. One of our chat room people, Michael, said Padre Pio, well, I guess when he was alive, stated that he was tormented by the devil, and yet Neil Donald Walsh, in Conversations with God, states the devil doesn't exist. Which is it? Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's interesting.
See, I feel that we create our own devils, you know, but do you have any feelings about it?
It's interesting because in reading and researching also, because I've been trying to learn not only through spirit connection, but also learn. And I actually continue to go to school. I actually did a research paper on Padre Pio and about his gifts and opening up. And he was a very sick man for being a healer most of his life. And he claimed his life to God at the age of 5. And it was really interesting in all the learning. And they did bring up some of that in my research and finding that out, and I didn't even want to read it because I didn't want to bring any attention, because I kind of have been going in the belief system of Neil Donald Walsh, you know, in that there. How could there be one person that's here to pull us? If anything, it's human ego, I think, that pulls us. And there's two voices inside us, one that puts us down and one that brings us up. And I feel like the one that brings us up is God and the angels, and the one that brings us down is our human ego. It could be, or just you know, it's a complex question,
yes.
You know, and then you're Catholic and that's what you believe. So.
Yeah, the Catholicism can bring up that. I know Seth has suggested that evil as we understand it doesn't necessarily exist in the world. Like the people that we see or think of as evil don't think they're evil. They think they're doing the right thing.
Mm.
And so again, your whole idea of ego, somewhere along the way these people got, and I'm using this term loosely, badly programmed. And therefore they think what they're doing makes sense. You know, I don't think anybody actually twirls their mustache and says, nah, ha, ha, I'm going to destroy you. You know, but I do think that, so I don't think evil as a goal exists, but I think people do make mistakes and pursue
it. I think everyone makes mistakes. Everyone makes poor choices,
yeah.
And people get hurt from those choices. And it's about, you know, going and, you know, taking on, and it depends on how big the picture is, but just, you know, going forward and having forgiveness and compassion and unconditional love. I mean, that's what really I like to talk more about. Let's all have more love and compassion for each other.
Yeah.
Let's all see the good in everyone. And because, you know, I'll never forget a story that Wayne Dyer, I went to see him speak, said, and he said he went to this third world country and they were talking about how they punish their prisoners and or what they do to their prisoners once they do something wrong in the society. And they said, well, actually, he goes into isolation for 30 days and the whole community comes around and they actually feed him with how much of a good person, all his good qualities, for 30 days, and he comes back and he never does it again and he's forgiven. And it raised his vibration and didn't make him feel bad. He actually said, listen, you're better than this, you're good. And then you know what he does? He's one of those people for the next guy that it happens to, and he's inspiring them and it's bringing them up. You know maybe someone's light is dim, but everyone has a light inside them, and you know, let's try to shine everyone's light.
And on that note, it's time for commercials. But no, I absolutely agree with what you're talking about. And it sounds like a great system of rehabilitation. we do have a few minutes ahead of us of commercials, and we'll be back shortly after that.
Hey Z Radio Network. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Hazy Radio Network, its affiliates, or sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only.
Come and explore the extraordinary with the International Association for Near-Death Studies and hear accounts of near-death and other extraordinary experiences at their conference in Westminster, Colorado, August 3rd through the 6th. Discount registration ends July 12th. Register to attend, participate in live streaming, or purchase video on-demand options. Free registration for veterans and great discounts for students are available. For information, visit neardeathconference.com.
And we are back for the last section of Cosmic Tuesdays. We're speaking with Angel Eyes Dawn Marie. Today is Monday, May 8th, 2017, which is the day that every Cosmic Tuesdays happens on just about. And Dawn, you're still there, right? We didn't lose you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. I do want to mention, and after a few more chatting with Dawn, towards the end of the show, if you post a question in the chat room, Dawn will do an angel card reading for you, a brief one. We're not talking major deal, but just a few samples for people that wish to ask a question or two. Let's see. Have we covered everything yet? You have so many workshops, and you're still learning, as you're saying. I mean, you haven't got a tarot card. You haven't got a Reiki. So many things that you could be busy the rest of your life.
Oh, yes. I'm a Reiki master teacher, too.
Yeah, okay.
I use my Reiki with my activations.
Mm-hmm. So that isn't even on your card, huh?
It says I'm an ordained minister and an energy healer. It's not on my card.
Well, not in the one you sent me. Maybe you have another one.
You know, there's so many things. What are you going to do?
Well, it's true, and sometimes detailing each one is not as important.
Right.
I just understand they're all basically the same. Basic field, you know, whether you're an eye doctor or a foot doctor or a heart doctor, you're still a doctor, you know. And I think spirituality is becoming that kind of a thing. I mean, okay, you haven't learned astrology or numerology either, but you know, you gotta take a break somewhere along the way.
You're gonna teach me that.
Okay, happy to trade lessons. So I guess you would say meditation is really the best key for everybody to start with before they even start taking classes is regular meditation?
Really, you know, you don't have to have a regular practice of meditation before you start taking classes. Meditation is very hard for a lot of people have a hard time fitting it into your day or trying to get there. Even taking meditation classes or going to meditate or taking classes, any type of class that interests you in spirituality, it's interesting you for a reason. I would say take it. You know, there's a reason why you're drawn to a certain, you know, there's a reason why something popped up on your phone. I believe spirit's helping us through electronics, through our computers, through our Facebook, that, you know, I have to say there's so many people that have come to me and said, I was just led here, that I found you from, you know, someone else's Facebook. Or I saw this, or I was just led here, and they were led to the site where they Googled and found it. It's like, or intuitively, you know, they found. It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, it is. It's people they can't always explain, but they just sort of stumble upon something. And actually, I've heard mediums say that, like, if you're thinking of your Aunt Mary, and suddenly Aunt Mary's favorite song comes on the radio, that's not accidental. You know,
nope, not at all.
Definitely, definitely a connection of what's going on. So we have a few people popping up with questions.
Okay.
If you're ready to give a couple of them shots, the one who hold on, I'm just scrolling down to somebody named Donna from out on Long Island asking, "What is my financial outlook in the near future?"
Okay. So let's pull some cards. Okay, for Donna. Okay, so the card that popped up is saying that she should consult an expert. So that card can mean that whether she can go to a financial planner, if she was thinking about going to one, that's definitely, or someone's popping in her mind right now. You know, it's always good to, you know, kind of get all your ducks in a row.
Okay.
And sometimes, and it's funny because the next card that came up is mother healing. Is her mother telling her something to do? Or, you know, mother healing came. So sometimes mothers could know best whether they're in spirit or whether they're here.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, who's...
And one more card I pulled for
her, right ahead. Yes.
It was let yourself receive. So allow others to actually help when you know, to let yourself allow others to help you. So if someone wants to do something for you, a lot of times we're like, no, we want to be independent. But sometimes that's a way of receiving abundance.
Okay.
And last but not least, divine magic. Okay, who's the next person?
Well, Bill, who lives way out in Long Island, was actually asking a question. Let me just scroll down here because he's asking, what is my new North Node mission? Just as I mentioned, the North Node in astrology is sort of a life path or life direction. So he's asking, what is his new North Node mission?
Okay, I actually have life purpose cards that I'll grab.
Sure.
And what's his name? Bill?
Bill, yes.
Okay, Bill. Tuning in to Bill. So I shuffle the cards. Ooh, wow. Two jumped out. You heard that reaction. And it was, the cards that fell out are books and sensitivity. So he needs to embrace his sensitivity, his sensitive side, and tune into that. And he's guided to read books or write a book. A book card is coming up. So it's all about tuning into that. And also about being healthy, staying well.
Okay. And that's Bill. Okay. Michael, who is upstate New York, asks, anything that spirit feels I should be concerned about or aware of at this point?
Okay. So let's see. And his name is Bill?
No, this is Michael. Michael from upstate
New York.
Oh, this
is Michael.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Michael. Tell me what he needs to hear. He needs to start making wish and manifesting. He's a powerful manifester, and he already knows that.
Okay.
But yeah, make a wish, and this is a magical moment. Make a wish and enjoy the manifestation. And it's also time to simplify your life, to eliminate clutter, and just allow the new to come in that you're going to be manifesting. So if you let go, and watch the divine magic take place.
Okay, we had Donna said that made perfect sense, and Bill has said, interesting, as I keep hearing, go to the library. You were talking about books.
Books,
okay.
Yeah.
And Dora, who is from Wisconsin, said, what do I need to do to heal?
Okay, so I'm going to grab my Archangel Raphael deck for healing. You know, before I even draw the card, I'm feeling like if she's been constantly having issues with her throat or having, like, not breathing deeply, I'm feeling like she has to start speaking her truth, and that will help her. And just taking deeper breaths, and that will help her. And really breathing in healing energies, light and love, and releasing. And just really breathe more and take deeper breaths, because I feel like her breaths are short.
Okay.
And here I'm also getting that she should actually start taking some classes that she's guided to take, and also start writing writing. If she's feeling, sometimes before I started writing, I used to get this anxious feeling in my stomach. And if she's feeling that, a good way is by journaling, automatic writing, learning about writing, and just getting it all out. And that will help her physically heal.
Okay. That sounds good. No other questions at the moment. So, anybody, if you want to find Angel Eyes Dawn Marie, you use those words, Angel Eyes Dawn, MARIE.com, and you can find her personal website, which has got a lot of stuff on it. There's videos, there's inspirational quotes, there's courses, there's a blog, there's all kinds of stuff, and there's a lot to investigate. Also, she works out of a place on Long Island in West Hills, Long Island. It's called the Long Island Healing Center, which is lihealingarts.com. Lihealingarts.com. I'm going to get that right, in West Hills, New York. And she's not the only person working out of there, so you can check out that website too. Everybody is very happy with their readings. And Dora just said, wow, cool. And I think you've made some. Made a lot of sense for a lot of people tonight, which I'm sure you're not surprised about. But I do want
to... Oh, it's always nice to help people and give some inspirational messages, for sure.
Now, out of all these things you do, I mean, you said you like meditation most. What do you personally enjoy doing the most? Do you have a particular, like, you really love third eye stuff, you really love, you know, past life? What is it that you find the most fun
for
yourself?
Well, actually, when I mentioned meditation, I love leading guided meditation because my meditations are guided by spirit. And I love that, I would say, the most. I love teaching the most. I love seeing someone awaken to their own innate abilities. You know, I love doing this work, but I do love the activations and that assists them in opening up well.
When you do these guided meditations, have you ever recorded them and put them up anywhere, or are they just very specific for that particular crowd at that particular moment?
Yeah, I have one CD that is here at the center, and I intend to do more. Sometimes my students will record it so they could listen to it again. Mm-hmm. They all love them, and I'm supposed to do more. I'm supposed to get some. I actually have a recording studio that I'm going to go to and record it. But sometimes they're specific but different based on who's there. So that's nice, too,
okay,
when they're guided.
Bill, who's been involved in the Long Island spirit community for a while, happened to ask, is Sergio still doing his drum circles there? I don't know.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Tuesdays.
Okay, on Tuesdays.
Yes, that's so funny.
Do you lead regular meditations, or is it just something you do from time to time?
I do meditations in my workshops and in my classes. So okay. every class I do, it is... you know, we do 2 or 3 meditations in the classes as well to get you to that place.
Okay. We're just about, it's about 10 minutes before we go, so we have a few minutes. You also give I can't even pronounce the word. When people take your courses, you give them like certificates and accreditation.
Yes.
Okay. And so there's definitely something they can, you know, flash around and show people.
They work really hard. I actually give homework, so they have to do their homework.
Oh, no, homework, huh?
I do. I found by applying what you learn, they've gotten so much better, you know, by actually doing the homework.
I also noticed on your website you have essential oils listed. Do you blend them yourselves, or is it something you
It's Young Living Essential Oils, and I'm a representative for them.
Okay.
And it's amazing. Like, even the first starter kit you get is just, you know, it comes with a diffuser, and you get about, I think, a total of 8 bottles or so, or maybe even 10. And it's just amazing. I mean, breathing in the oils, the healing properties of the oils, not only breathing them in, but putting them on certain areas of your body that can help you. I've been learning. I used to just use, just some meditation alone, I used to just use the lavender essential oil because it was just very calming to get me to that place of meditation. And now I've been using frankincense, which is raises your vibrational level. I always use a high vibrational level in my classes and my activations. So this way we could rise, you know, raise, go higher.
Yeah, that's the goal, I think, to get us further and further, all of us, on a higher level. Honestly, just a quick political comment, and I'm saying I think this is just a backpedaling. I think we're still on the path, but I think some people are... Sometimes when you move into the future, the people that like the past kick and scream every step of the way. But we are all growing, and the more love we can give to people that we might consider our enemies, that's a terrible word, will probably help the situation. As hard as it might be, I always believe in sending, you know, love and energy to anybody, even the ones I disagree with in particular.
To
not generate hate or anger, but to try to smooth everything around. I'm assuming people that are difficult just never got enough love on somewhere along the way. So more love always helps, no matter what you do.
All you need is love.
Yes, yes, that's sounds like it should be a song.
yes, I have, it's very important, for sure.
Dear listeners, I have tried the very best I can to have covered the gestalt of Angel Eyes Dawn Marie. There's so many things that she does and can do and seems connected to that I heartily recommend you check out her website if you're the least bit curious about what she does, because there's a lot of fascinating stuff here. And keep on top of her her website, because there's workshops and meditations and classes that go on all the time. And, of course, you can always contact her yourself if you need a reading of any kind for any particular reason, or you have a certain spiritual malaise and just need a understanding of it better. I do want to mention also, besides AngelEyesDawnMarie.com and LIHealingArts.com, all of the music you hear in the show, which means the opening music and the closing music, is performed by Mike Freeman, Zone of Vibe. And if you like the music, you go to JazzVibe, JazzVibe.com. That's his website. You can sample some of his music there. You can also order a number of his CDs. It's great stuff. If you like it, it's worth purchasing. So that's about it for now. Again, Dawn Marie, thank you very much for all the information you've given. It's such a wide-ranging... you do so much, and yet it's all kind of connected, and yet it's all kind of fascinating in its own right.
Yes. It's all about spreading the peace, love, and light.
Yeah, yeah, it is, and it's a tough one. We're not encouraged to be trusting and loving at first when we grow up. We're always told to beware and be careful.
Right.
And the world is safer than we think it is, than many of us
Absolutely.
Think it is. I think that's something we have to try to remember, that things more often than not work out for the better,
mm-hmm.
you know. So,
and when they don't, we have to try to find the highest perspective and
right.
move forward
and understand. You know, what are we supposed to be learning here? If it's not what we wanted, what are we getting instead?
What is the blessing in disguise?
Oh, okay, that's a good way to put it. Okay, I'm just checking on my things. So tonight we're going to close out with a song called Jigsaw Puzzle by Mike Freeman and Zone of Vibe. Dawn, again, thank you 1,000 times 1,000, and we'll see everybody else next week. I know everybody in the chat room has enjoyed this show very, very much. So, again, thanks.
And thank you. My pleasure.
You have a good night, and as I said, Jigsaw Puzzle by Mike Freeman and Zone of Vibe. See you all next week.
All right. Bye-bye.